The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Welcome back inside the MDN studio. Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The Ticket online at WTK.com. The strategy recap in a moment. But at this time tomorrow, Sam, we're going to be between the lines with Jack Miller, sponsored by Highland, one of the country's largest privately held insurance brokerages, offering business insurance, personal insurance, and employee benefit services. To learn more, visit Highland, H-Y-L-A-N-T.com. That's Highland.com. Really looking forward to hearing what he has to say about what happened in the trench play. We'll do that tomorrow. Coming up in about an hour, it's Monday morning quarterback Devin Gardner. But right now, Sam, it's time for our strategy recap as we welcome you back to the Midwest here. Welcome back.
Oh, man. So glad to be home. So, I mean, that was a lot in a little bit of time, but made more frustrating by, it was just too many airports. I didn't get enough direct flights because I had to schedule it so suddenly. Didn't get enough direct flights. And so anytime you throw extra flights in the mix, it winds up, you have the possibility of delay. And it struck me in the very last leg of the trip from San Francisco Saturday to L.A. It just, I was ready to come home after that. But saw a great game. Great game Saturday night, Modern Day versus Servite and Mason Graham, who's just like the Energizer freaking bunny. I mean, the dude is just nonstop. Go, 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 go. Unbelievable stamina on that kid. We'll get into that later. A little during the recruiting round, but certainly more on the MichiganInsider.com. Strategy recap time. And I'm going to call an audible a little bit because I want to set up a discussion point, a talking point with Joe Simon from the law offices of Joseph A. Simon, our legal expert and insider. So Michigan now 7-0. And by the way, listen. It's a 24-hour moratorium, which started at midnight. 24-hour moratorium on Sparty Week Sam.
I told the people that you were going to ramp up. Yes, as Sparty Week continues. You will ramp up.
Sparty Week Sam starts tomorrow. All right, Sparty Week Sam starts tomorrow and goes through the rest of the week. First things first, we got to put the last game to bed. So. Again, and I say that to promote it to the folks who love this week, love the back and forth of this week, and to those who are otherwise, I don't know, just their sensibilities are offended by me calling out the spartiness of Sparty. See, I have no problem calling out the spartiness of Sparty because I have fun with this. The back and forth is part of what makes the week so exciting. Makes the game so anticipated for me. Love it. Love this week. Love what's at stake. And the only thing that fans have to put at stake, this is what I was telling Seth last week, the only thing fans have to put at stake is your word. What fans say and do has no bearing on the game at all. Zero bearing.
The only impact fans have on the game is noise in the stands. Right,
we can't say that to them. Who is we? Are you lining up? Are you putting the helmet on? No fan is doing that.
My favorite, Sam, is when someone says, Sam Chance can't say that because they're going to put that on the bulletin board. I'm like, first of all, they did do that with Steve Everett, so you're right. Second of all, if they're going to a Michigan media guy to get material for their bulletin board, they're digging deep.
I will say this to Michigan fans, too, though. Don't be like the Sparties who they now, not this year, but typically, because they're really confident this year, right? But typically in the history, I know they've had some success here in the 2000s, but historically, what Sparties will do is lay in the cut, lay in the weeds, and then when they win, then they want to yap, then they want to talk. See, that to me is, that's like cherry picking. What did you really put on the line? You didn't put your confidence on the line. You didn't put your word on the line. That's not to say that you can't celebrate victory. I'm just saying that if you weren't talking to the Sparties before the game, if you weren't saying, yeah, we're going to get you before the game, don't go up in their faces after the game and say, we got you. I think that is the height of, that's the epitome of softness. So I'm not saying that you need to do that. I'm just saying if you don't talk before, don't talk after. Just be consistent. And if you do talk before and you lose, take it on the chin. Comes with the territory. All in the fun of the game, to me. I'm not telling people to talk smack or to not talk smack only before the game. I'm just saying after the game, if you talk smack before the game, then talk it. If you didn't talk smack before the game, don't talk it. That's just my, you know, how I see it. Anyway, getting to the strategy recap. So what is the discussion at 7-0 about for Michigan fans, right? I mean, it is necessary to reflect, to go back in the mindset that we had at the beginning of the year where no one other than John Cuter and maybe who else? Anthony in Orlando and Jake in Ann Arbor. The only three souls in the maize and blue family who had Michigan 7-0 at this point. Let's be real. Think about it. No one had Michigan 7-0 at this point. So they have surpassed 99% of expectations out there. This has been a stellar start to the season. I don't care what improvements they have to make, what things they need to do better to beat better teams. You should celebrate what they have achieved to this point, understanding that this is not the goal. This is not the end. There's more to do, right? So starting there, they won the game, and they won it convincingly, right? Running game, stellar. I said in the conversation last week, just to get back briefly to the Sparty talk, I think Michigan's running back tandem, first of all, I think Blake Corum is in this matchup this week. I think Blake Corum is the best back on both teams. And the running back tandem, Kenneth Walker is a really good back. I think Blake Corum is better. I definitely think the combination of backs, the backfield dynamic at Michigan is overall better. Not saying that theirs isn't, saying Michigan's is better isn't saying theirs isn't good. This is the best running back tandem Michigan has had in decades, Ira. That's not hyperbole. Think about the number of one-on-one matchups that these backs, I mean, you draw up plays and everyone has a man, right? Everyone has a man that they're supposed to be responsible for. Many plays, running back is responsible for a man. We look back at the last couple of seasons, how many of those one-on-one battles, this is your guy? Now, Hassan Haskins, you know, frequently the first guy wouldn't necessarily bring him down, but he would impede progress to the point where you weren't seeing the kind of long gains that you see right now. A lot of that had to do with the blocking up front, but getting back to the point, those guys are winning one-on-one battles at an exceptional level. Two highlight examples to me in that game, two highlight examples, the spin cycle by Hassan Haskins, Mr. Weintraub, and then the move in the phone booth. The move in the phone booth, Mr. Weintraub, by Blake Corum to leave the dude's shorts on the turf and beeline for the end zone. Two examples. So it was tremendous. And then, of course, Aiden Hutchinson, the defense, they just give him credit. Now, all that being said, Joe Klatt said something during the game that echoed the sentiment of that many fans have right now is, have they developed their passing game enough to beat the better teams? Now, who are the better teams now, right? So Michigan State, that's a big question. Michigan State is going to dare Michigan to beat them through the air. Can you beat us down the field? Because they got to load up to stop Michigan's run. That might not stop Michigan on the ground. But they got to do that, right? It stands to reason they have to do that. Can you, regardless of what you think of Ohio State's defense, whether you buy that they're improved, you got to put up points. People say that's down the line. This is how fans talk. Do you have enough firepower in the air, or have you proven that you can capitalize on that firepower enough in order to win those games? That was the point that Klatt brought up. He said, this was good today. He said, but I just don't know that they had the passing game to beat better teams. Main point, do they have the downfield ability to take advantage of some of the matchups that I think they're going to have to their advantage? I mean, there were two highlight reel examples in the game Saturday that stand out to the point now where you say, well, Michigan's downfield passing game is a major work in progress. It's a major work in progress. Is the progress fast enough? Is it going to be fast enough to be able to win those games? And that's a fair question to ask after there was the post with CJ that was thrown into the defender as opposed to the field. And then there was the scene with Schoonmaker that was thrown short. I mean, that has been a recurring enough of a theme for it to say, hey, man, that's not a strength. That's not a strength. So what can is that just something that they have to get around? Is that something they have to scheme around? Or is that something that they can compensate? Is it just going to improve with more reps, with more games? Even though it's seven games in, the consistency of it hasn't gotten to the point where they need it to be? Or is there another complementary role? And this was my response to this question again that came up. It's like, hey, is it time to make a, because Clatt brought up, hey, JJ McCarthy. JJ even responded to Rich Eisen. He said, T, you see that tweet in response to Rich Eisen? He said, JJ McCarthy. I don't even know why he tweeted JJ. I don't know why Rich tweeted JJ. I didn't see the time, if it was at a point in the game where JJ had done something and he said JJ McCarthy, or if he was just trumpeting the theme that many fans were trumpeting to that point. But several messages, hey, man, it's time to go to JJ. Here's what I'll say to that. Complementary role is not the complementary role in the way that we've seen it so far is not necessarily the only way. I mean, you could be a complementary piece in the run game, can be a complementary piece in the pass game too. And so what does that look like? I think that looks like more than a play at a time. I think it looks like more than run plays too. I think it looks like, hey man, maybe he gets a few plays. Maybe he gets a series or two. That to me is what a complementary piece looks like. So I'm going to say, just like I said at the beginning of the season, said, so, you know, you work him in, you grow him into the role to getting ready to augment what you have, the quarterback, take advantage of the talent you have on the field. I feel the same way. I feel with regard to where we are now and using him even more. Not to the point of being a replacement, because here's the thing, the counter, as I talked to Borges about this, I'll talk to Al about it. I mean, I'll talk to Joe about it as well. I mean, when you look at Cade McNamara, Ira, he does the short and intermediate game in that last game, in the Northwestern game. I mean, man, hey, he was on point. He was on point. I mean, if you just looked at the numbers, I think after that second big incompletion, downfield incompletion, because the shots were few and far between down the line, as Jim said, he said they weren't there. They were putting a couple safeties back. But we know on those two plays, those balls, those plays were there. So in that instance, in talking about those kinds of plays, what can you do to maybe capitalize on those? That's what we're talking about. Because short and intermediate, you know he has the leadership. You know he has the intangibles. If you looked at the numbers after that second incompletion, I think he was like, he only had like four incompletions on the game at that point.
Well, Sam, he was 20 of 27 in the game.
Right.
Two of them were deep shots, right? So,
right. So
on back-to-back plays, there were deep shots.
And the first one was covered. The second one, if he goes to the field, is the one that's open, right? So can you marry those two? Can you get some more JJ without affecting what's good about Cade? Because what's good about Cade is, hey, man, like I said, at that point, he must have been, I don't have the stats in front of me because I was on the road, Ira. I think he might have been 12 for 16 at that point. when he had that second incompletion. I'm just, sticks out to me that that's what he was. He had four incompletions at that point. It wasn't like he was, you know, missing balls here and there. We're talking specifically about the downfield passing game. So how can you get it all? How can you achieve it all? I said at the beginning, hey, man, you know, you don't have to replace him. Should be secure enough in this position at this point to feel like, hey, man, they aren't trying to replace me. But you got this weapon on the bench that might be able to fill in a little more of the gaps. And so can they use that weapon more than they have? Will they use that weapon more than they have? That'll be the discussion with Joe Simon as we get into the strategy recap, or at least that's the one I want to have. I know Joe have a whole bunch of other stuff he wants to talk about, but we'll talk about that. And of course, we will get his opening argument, right? His opening statement on Michigan State too. We got a lot to look forward to this week. So Joe, can't wait to see you and talk to you. The law offices of Joseph A. Simon, located right across the street from the Big House. You can find them at themichigandefenders.com. Again, themichigandefenders.com. We got to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we got the monster moment. Looking forward to it. Stay tuned here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.